Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to pray. As we pray, there's a lot of things going on that is affecting all of us. Some of you by now have been affected by somebody else in your family who's got this virus. Maybe somebody's not been able to meet their bills because of work. A lot of stuff going on in our family. So let's go forward and pray for each other. And if you would, just pick out one person in our church right now, right here. Just lift their name up to the Lord and tell them what their problem is. Nothing else, just tell the Lord you love them. So let's go and pray to God. Almighty Father, Lord, we love you and praise you. We depend on you, we trust you. God, we know that without you, we'd be lost. So, Father, we come sometimes forgetting to praise you, but we come with burdens on our hearts and ask the Lord for you to lift these burdens and take care of them for us. But we also praise you, Lord. We're here today, we're breathing, we have a really nice air condition, sanctuary, and Father, able to meet, whether it's 6 feet apart or what, we can still look at each other and have some fellowship with each other. So we praise you, Father, for that. And we don't know, Father, what the future holds, but we know that you do, so we trust you with the future. We ask, Lord, that you would guide our church through all this stuff. Guide us through the building process. Guide us through our walk with you. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. Some, Father, are struggling with health issues. So many different kinds of issues, Father. So we lift them up to you. We have some that are experiencing surgeries or looking at surgeries in the near future. God, we pray for them. I know that, Father, the 29th of this month, somebody will be having surgery. So we lift her up to you, ask the Lord that you be with her just in a great and mighty way. We thank you, Lord, for the good reports that we've heard of the tests coming back and how you've healed and taken care of those. Pray for those that are struggling financially. Lord, Lord, we know how to pray except that you would overcome the financial problems and take care of the needs. I pray, Lord, for the Word of God that it would go out today, especially, Father. I pray our churches all will be preaching the true Word of God, the living Word of God. Father, that we preach nothing else, we teach nothing. Pray, Lord, for our teachers and our school systems as they try to care for a new school year. Lord, we pray that you protect our teachers and our medical personnel and our first responders and our policemen. Be with them in a special way, Father, those that are on the front lines. Today, Father, as we open up the Word of God, I pray. Miriam died there and was buried there. says contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow my name or me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was out of power among them. How to please the Lord as we journey into the future, or how to make sure we don't stumble at the finish line. Back in 2016, during the Olympics, Abigail Agostino and Nikki Hamlin fell in the 5,000-meter race they were racing. And I watched this on YouTube again, and as they fell, you could just see the pain. It looked like Abby had fallen and broken her ankle. It was that bad, and you could see the tears and the anguish in her face, and the sad part is, she looked like she could have won that race. But both these girls got up together. They checked each other out while everybody else ran past them. And of course, they were able to stand up, but they really should have quit the race. They should have just stopped right then because of the damage had been done to their ankles. But Abby kept on going. And as the camera was on her face, and she was just barely running. In fact, at times she just had to walk, and at times she just stopped. And you can see the pain in her face, the grimace in her face, and how bad that was. And then they showed her, and I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this. As she came to the finish line, they showed her across the finish line. So, again, you can see the pain on her face, and everybody was in awe of Abby, including the preacher that was watching her. And she finished that race because she had trained probably all her life to race and to win. And even though she lost the race, she won that race that day. She did not stumble at the end. She continued through the pain, through the hurt, through the anguish, and finished the race. The race was determined by her attitude. She was training with the intentions of finishing, with the intentions of winning the race put before. So that's the reason I came up with the second title, how to make sure we don't stumble at the finish line. Now this is personal right now, but the closer we get to glory, you understand what I'm saying? The closer we get to glory, we ought to be wanting to please the Lord more and more and more. You understand, again, what I'm saying. The older we get, I'll just put it like that, I can see the end of my future. God may let me live another 50 years. But I will make sure that I do my very best now to please the Lord. We're back 30 or 40 years ago, to be honest, and I didn't care whether I pleased the Lord. So I want to share some scripture with you today to make sure that we don't stumble as we're seeking the Lord in heaven, prepared place for us. Or how to please the Lord as we journey into the future here at church. I hope hope that you agree with me that we ought to be wanting to please God with all that we give for maturity in our walk with the Lord. I also hope that we agree with Paul, as he wrote 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I have kept the faith. So with those in mind, that title, the second one comes to mind in my heart. You know, that sure that I don't stumble before the finish line. I fight the good fight. I finish the race that God puts before me. I keep the faith. This isn't just for Jerry. This is for all of us. God has put each one of us in a race. He's put each one of us in that race. And if he's abiding in you, then you are to finish that race. No matter what it is, you're to keep the faith. And it seems to me like the closer we get to glory, the more we all want to finish our race in a way that pleases him. Amen. I hope that we all can say, I'm a little bit more mature than I was yesterday in the Lord. I'm a whole lot more mature than I was 10 years ago in the Lord. And even 20 or 30, you go back and just reminisce about your own life. So there's some things in this scripture that I've read today that will help us if we avoid certain things that we're going to talk about. If we want to please God in our own walk, then there are three or four things that we'll share with that we need to avoid. If we want to be pleasing to God in our church life, then there are several, three or four different things that we're going to talk about that we need to avoid. Anything that we're going into the future and trying to please God, all of us together, there's the things that we're going to talk about today to avoid. So as I share these thoughts, I want you to look into it, do some self-evaluating. I want to emphasize this word humbly. I want us to look at God's word humbly today. Let's humbly look at verses 1 through 5. There's something in here to avoid as we finish our race or as we look forward to the future. I'll share with you at the end what we're talking about. So let's read verses 1 through 5 again, and you're probably going to pick it up. There's a certain thing in these five verses that we absolutely have to avoid if we're going to finish the race without stumbling, if we're going to be pleasing to God as we go into the future. Journey that he's put before us. So let's start, let's read it again, verses 1 through 5, verse 20. Then the children of Israel, that's God's people, that's the church, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Then verse 2. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together, the Bible says, against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses, spoke saying, if only, can you hear this, if only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, why have you brought us up, the whole assembly of the Lord, into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. The Bible says that people contended with Moses. People complain with Moses. I emphasize the word humbly on purpose. Complained. It wasn't just a complaint. It was a heart thing. It was an attitude thing. It was a heartfelt. They were just angry, miserably angry. They were Moses and Aaron's face, but more than that, they were in God's face. And this was at the end of 40 years of the desert. And the Bible says they were thirsty. And the cattle was thirsty. And my mind just went all over this. I'm sure the camels were thirsty. And everybody was just wanting water. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But they've been here before. When they first started their journey, back in Exodus 72, they did the same thing. They complained because there was no work at the beginning, and now they're complaining. complaining 40 years later. Now hear this, God had provided before, remember that? They struck the rock and they got water. So these people knew that God could provide, yet they contended with the Lord. They complained. So 40 years later, they're still complaining. Now go with me on this. This is a brand new generation, along with maybe some of them that complained before. The sin's the same, the complaining's the same. They've been the older ones before, and now it's the younger ones. They were thirsty, and they complained. Humbly, think this through with me. Who taught them how to complain? Mom and dad? Yeah. Aunt and uncle? Granddad and grandmother? These people in this new generation didn't learn how to complain by themselves. They saw mom and dad complaining before. Evidently never got corrected and they complained. It seems like every generation has a heart problem of rebellion or complaining or contending or doubting or lack of faith with the Lord. Criticizing the Lord. So I put all this in one little lump sum that had a critical spirit. So how do we finish our race? This became so important to me. I asked God, Lord, do I have a critical spirit? God, do I doubt you? When I'm thirsty, do I complain? Do I contend with you? And it just was a good time to pause and look inward. And as I'm going into the future that God set before me, I'm learning from this passage not to complain. Friday night, probably ought not to tell you this, we're live. I don't want to. I talked with somebody, and they said, hey, how are you? They started complaining. I knew what I was going to be preaching on today, so that started in my mind. Always one complaint after another. And this is one of my real good friends, saved, without a doubt, so a little older than I am, quite a bit older. Pretty well off. Not rich, rich, but okay off. Never lacks for anything. I'm really tired of this thing. Really tired. Really tired of not being able to do what we want to do. To the point of telling God, I know I ought to be thankful for everything, but I'm not. But what she didn't realize, she just contended with the Lord. I'm not thrilled about this thing. If it saves your life, I'm willing to wear it. Just a good time to reevaluate. So the first thing that we have to avoid in order to please God in the journey in the future is what? Not to complain. This is not Jerry's words. This is the Lord's lesson here. So I don't know if you're a complainer or not. Actually, I'm doing the Lord. Today, all of us, I say humbly, come before the Lord and check. Do gut check. Are we guilty of complaining? And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because I complain a lot. I'm sorry. Brokenhearted, I look at this. Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be a complainer as we go into the future. There may be some things that I could complain about. To be honest, what business doesn't do to complain about anyways? So the first thing, according to these verses, is to avoid complaining, avoid being critical, to please God. I wrote this down, and I will read it just like I wrote it down. Please God, we must avoid complaining, because complaining shows a lack of trust in God. They complained the first time in Exodus chapter 7. We have a water, God supplied water. Then they get to Numbers 40 years later, complain about the same thing. So where's the trust there? They saw that God provided 40 years ago, came and supplied the water again 40 years later. Maybe God had a reason for them to have no water. Maybe because, remember James, you have not because you ask not. They didn't ask, they complained. It's not you have not because you complain. You have not because you ask not. So how do you avoid complaining? You just ask God. Maybe God wanted to show them that they needed to trust Him more. They complained, Lord, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Slavery. That was a terrible life. I've been studying in Job, too. I've got a double whammy of this. You know, Job went through this stuff, too, but he trusted God through it all. He didn't want to complain, but that's okay. He also talked to the Lord and said, God, I'm willing. Just get me through it. Help me. So let me give you four things of application here. When we have no water, or when we're inadequate, that lack or that inadequacy will always drive us to God. So when we're going through a lack of anything, whether it's lack of water, lack of money, lack of anything, realize that that lack may be a gift from God to drive us back to God. If we have plenty, sometimes don't we quit relying on God? Remember the widow and the two mites? Everybody else gave out of their abundance, and it was just like a normal offering to throw money into the plate. The widow came up and she gave everything she had, those two little pennies, we call them pennies, and God was so impressed with that. So when we have plenty or when we have abundance, we give out of our abundance, and sometimes we just forget about God. Amen. But when we lack, then we are driven back to God. And there's a decision we have to make to trust in God. Number two, when we lack, that lack will relieve us of the burden that we're carrying and give it to God. So when we lack, that relieves that 100 pounds on your shoulders, it becomes God's responsibility. Number three, when we can't, God can. Let me drive that one home. When we can't, God can. Our lack forces us to live our lives and do His work in the power of thinking of the first title, going into the future, how do we please God more than the judge that He set before us? Number four, our lack, or when we lack as a church, it gives God the opportunity to demonstrate His greatness. I didn't stop there. He also demonstrates His power, His ability. How many people that you know of, including yourself, could have stood before the Red Sea and parted it? God couldn't. How many, you know, the people who run across the Jordan River, how did they get across that Jordan River? What did God do? He parted the Jordan River again. How many people could do that? So it's God's power. He's always demonstrating His power to us. Well, let's keep on going. Another thing to avoid as we try to please God going into the future is to hear what God has to say and do it. But the thing to avoid is to hear what God has to say and then do what we want to do. So look at verses 6 through 11. This is Moses and Aaron. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. So this is a really good thing. They come before God, they're hurting, they yell at and complain to him, and all that stuff. So they come to God, and God speaks to them. Then the Lord, in verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give them drink to the congregation. So far you don't hear God, you don't hear anything of anger in God's voice. You don't hear wrath in God's voice. Well, that's going to come later, but right now he just taught them to Moses and Aaron, tell them what to do. And to me, a really good voice. Speak to me like. And then verse 9, so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as God commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the Lord. So far, everything sounds good. And then Moses said, now hear now, you rebels. Well, where'd that come from? God never told him to call the people rebels. What happened was Moses and Aaron got angry. And something we need to avoid later on. Now hear you rebels, lest we bring water for you out of this rock. Who's going to bring the water? God. They just inserted themselves into that little equation. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. So another thing that we are to avoid as we go into the future following God is to hear what God says, but don't do things our way. That's exactly what Aaron and Moses did. They did things their way. There's three things that stand out to avoid trying to please God that Moses teaches. First of all, Moses did not do what God told him to do. God told him to leave a civil tone, speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He did what anger caused him to do. He struck the rock just like he had in Exodus, which is another lesson. It may have worked back then for God, but it's not going to work this time later, you know? When we do what we want to do, after we've heard what God told us to do, then what we're really telling God is, I know better than you know. It becomes an act of grievous disobedience. It's almost an arrogance on our part to hear from God. And man, we hear from God all the time. This is God's word. This is his promise. So Moses heard God, but didn't do what God says. So that's the number one thing we need to avoid going into the future. Or when you get close to glory, you want to make sure you don't stumble at the finish line. Just hear what God has to say and then do it. Number two, he did not honor God as holy. The Bible says he didn't hallow God before the people. What would have happened, and this is just Jerry thinking this through, what would have happened if they yelled at him, complained to him, and Moses and Aaron got on their knees before the Lord and they heard what God says, and then he gathered the people together and said, how about us having a prayer meeting? Just asking God for help. Moses didn't do that. He didn't take the people from where they're at to the Lord. He did not honor God. Right. This was the leader of the people. As he didn't honor and hallow the name of God before the people, there will be consequences. And I'm sure that we need just a little bit. Number three, these things happened in the sight of all the people, the Israelites. This was not a private sin. This was a very public sin. When we, I won't say this in front of an outright, when we try to please God as we go into the journey together in the future, or as you're trying to get to the finish line of that stone, please don't sin in public. Don't sin at all. I'm not giving you permission to sin. Don't hear me wrong. But you know, there are certain things. In fact, I just read it this weekend. Bellevue Baptist Church been sued by one of their church members because of one of their youth workers, children workers, had an affair with a 16-year-old girl. And the story is that he'd been grooming that little girl for 2 or 3 years, getting ready to lead her into this stuff. That's a pretty public sin, isn't it? That's the kind of stuff that we absolutely have to avoid. Since this is Moses speaking, or we're looking at Moses, I have to make sure that my sins are not very public, grievous sins. But we also, all of us are in that same boat together. There's always going to be sin in our life. We know that. Some of it's private sin, just between me and God. It's all sin, don't get me wrong. You kind of know what I'm saying. There's just differences in these sins. So these are things that we need to avoid. Avoid doing what we want to do when God says do something. Always honor God and avoid dishonoring God. And then when we sin, realize sin's happening. Everybody sees it. We can't hide it. Well, here's the cost for Moses and Aaron both. Aaron was part of it. Two struck the rock. He did not hallow God. He was the chief priest. He should have said, he should have been the one to call the prayer meeting. He should have been the one to spiritually guide them through that lack of water. Let's trust God. Let's depend on God. Let's go to God and let him show his power to us again. So God says, Aaron, you cannot be my priest anymore. In fact, worse than that, I'm going to take your life. And it's just a short amount of days later. Guess what? Aaron is stripped of his priesthood garments in front of the people and killed. Caused a sin. And then you know what happened with Moses. He could just look at that promised land from afar because he didn't get to cross over and go with him. And then later on, he lost his life too because of this sin that should never have taken place. Third thing to avoid if we want to please the Lord as we go into the future or as we get to the finish line that will cause us to stumble is in verse 10. We just read this, but I want to point out something that's under what I'm saying. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. Now hear you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? He got angry. He lost his temper. He overstepped his authority. So as we're going into the future, we must be willing to avoid anger at all costs. Now, let me share. Pause for a second. And I told you when we first started this, humbly, 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 hear what God has to say. And with all humility, I come before you guys because I already told you I've had an anger problem and I had to get rid of it. How many of us have anger issues? Go ahead and raise your hands. I'm going to see. I have a feeling all of us all raise our hands at one time or another. We just get angry, don't we? We're bored with sin. I mean, it's hard to overcome that anger, but the point of this whole message is as we go forward, there's some things that we must avoid to please God. And when Moses and Aaron got angry, God took their life for it. Told you, and I'll go ahead and tell you again today. Years ago, I had a terrible anger issue. My boy, my only son, would press that anger button, and I'd get so mad at him, I'd want to kill him. And we're alive again, so strike that. I just want to hurt him. And you know what I'm talking about. The man would get so angry, he said, that's the way I was. I could lose that temper soon. One time it's just so plain in my mind. He got it on his face. And I was sitting in my recliner and I came out of that recliner warm steam. I mean, clothes. I was out of it. I was in his face. I grabbed him by the nape of the neck.
Why you do things, why you don't do things. Number three,
reject the discouragement from other people. They left the presence of those people and went straight to God. They rejected those people's anger issues, the complaining. They rejected that part of that and went straight to God. Now they didn't think God soothed their hearts. But when we get discouraged, and you get around somebody else discouraged, what happens then? The nose dive. Go straight down to that discouragement. It's often hard to overcome. So when you hear somebody discouraging, get out of their presence. Find somebody that's encouraging. Number four, recognize who is in control of everything. Man. I have to wear that thing. I look around. I realize who's in control of every single thing. My God. My Lord. Number five, learn to rely on God's power for victory. That's a lesson for all of us. Learn to trust God, His power for victory. Number six, fight the battle before the battle. Jesus is in your heart. I don't know if you need to make a decision for Jesus today. I don't know if you need to join our church. I don't know. God knows. That's why we have invitations. Maybe you need to get right with God about something. Maybe you need to give Jesus your life for the first time. We can come up to the altar and say 7 feet apart. You can do the things in your pew. Just would be a good time to say, Lord Jesus, I heard the message. It's from God. There's some things I need to correct. So let's let God have His way. If you don't know Him as your Savior, please don't leave without asking me how to get saved. Okay? I'll pray with you. In fact, I'll be up here. I'll pray with you. So let's stand and we're just going to give this time to God. This is His time to speak to us. So let me pray and the Lord will sing and the Lord will dismiss. Father Almighty, thank you for this day, the blessings. Thank you, God, for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, through this invitation that you would speak to our hearts, every single one of us. Lord, help us to reevaluate our lives. Is there something we need to correct? Is there something we need to confess? Father, maybe there's just something we need to praise you about, some past victories. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to go straight to the throne of God. Father, to feel your